welcome to the U Sunday. Thank you all for coming. We're going to start with prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this wonderful Sunday morning where we can come together and worship you. We thank you for everyone who has joined us today, and we thank you for those who cannot be with us today. We ask you, Lord, to be with all the people on the prayer focus this morning. Please touch their bodies and strengthen their minds. Holy Spirit, we ask you to take over in our service today. Lead us and guide us to do your will. Help us all follow you more closely. We love you. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.
All right, we're going to start with some announcements today. So, Pastor Casey and his wife, they are now in Kenya, Africa for a 10-day mission trip. So please continue to pray for them and their ministry there.
Tonight, there will be a continuation of Celebrate Recovery training at 6 o'clock.
Please pray for Jennifer. She'll be out of the office this week due to surgery and recovery.
We are ordering new church t-shirts this week. If anyone would like to purchase one, please sign up on the back table. They're $15 for kids and adult extra larges, and then sizes 2X and larger are $16.
This week is our annual community picnic that will be held on August 9th at 5 p.m. This will be our last community picnic at Erdogan Converse Park. Please enjoy fellowship together with our community. If you can, bring a salad, bars, or share.
Next Saturday is August 12th. There will be women's meeting at 9 o'clock, and there will be gathering school supplies for children in our body. And please bring school supplies to the office on Saturday, August 12th.
Then Monday, August 21st, that'll be the next Board of Administration meeting here at 6:30 p.m.
Wednesday, August 23rd is the youth annual cookout out at the Judge at 6 o'clock.
September 6th will be the first Awana training for anyone wanting helping with youth Awana clubs. This meeting will be held at 5:30 p.m. If you have any questions, please see Brandy Neal.
There will be a few new Bible studies on Thursdays at the Judge's House at 6 o'clock. They're beginning a new Bible study called Invisible War for any young people that would like to come. On Thursday, August 30th, Jennifer will be leading Beauty of Ashes at the church. And on Wednesday, September 6th, the Wednesday morning study with Pat will begin a new study on Jude.
September 13th is our annual Fall Festival, which will kick off our Awana clubs. If you want to help or make a donation to the Fall Festival, if you're willing, please sign up on a game sheet on the back table. We need help. Donate items, please. We need help.
Lastly, our first regular Awana night is Wednesday, September 20th at 3:30, and please come and help.
Okay. Good morning. So I'm going to just read a short little devo that I have. I'm going to be reading in 1 Samuel 3. So let me get that. Okay, 1 Samuel 3, 1 through 10. The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. One night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel. Samuel answered, "Here I am." And he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." But Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." So he went and lay down. Again the Lord called, "Samuel." And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." "My son," Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. The Lord called Samuel a third time, and Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, "Go lie down, and if he calls you, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. The Lord came and stood there, calling as at the other times, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." So, verse 1 says, the boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. So I think that the same could be said about today. You know, we don't necessarily hear from the Lord in the same way that we heard from him in the Old Testament. You know, he's still working and he's still speaking, and we'll talk about that later when we go over the mission trip. but it wasn't necessarily how prevalent it was in the early Old Testament in different times. So kind of similar to that. And then verse 3 says, "The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel." So it wasn't until Samuel was lying down trying to sleep that the Lord called to Samuel, when all was still and Samuel was quiet and listening. So Psalm 37:7 says, "Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him." And then a verse we're probably a little more familiar with, Psalm 46:10 says, "Be still and know that I am God." So God tells us throughout the Bible to be still. And it's often in these moments of stillness and quietness when he will speak. God wants us to be intentional about listening for him. You know, how often is it late at night when you're lying in the quiet that God reminds us of something from the day? Or maybe that we hear him most clearly. Then verse 8 says, "The Lord called Samuel a third time, and Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, 'Here I am, you called me.' Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy." So if we aren't listening to God, it's so easy to get caught up in other things. Like, he may be trying to speak to you, but you don't hear him because you're not listening for it or you're too focused on other things. So are we carving out quiet time for God, time to be still and listen what he has to say? And if not, maybe it's time to prioritize that. Prioritize just sitting in the presence of the Almighty God with open ears listening.
Good morning. You're going to get a lot of those today. I will be reading from Psalm 148. "Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise the Lord. Praise him in the heights above. Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all his heavenly hosts. Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all you shining stars. Praise him, you highest heavens, and you waters and above the skies. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for at his command they were created. And he has established them forever and ever. He issued a decree that will never pass away. Praise the Lord from the earth, you great sea creatures in all ocean depths, lightning and hail, snow and clouds, stormy winds that do his bidding. You mountains and all hills, fruit trees and all cedars, wild animals and all cattle, small creatures and flying birds, kings of the earth and all nations, you princes and rulers of the earth, young men and women, old men and children. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is exalted. His splendor is above the earth and the heavens. And he has raised up from his people a horn, the praise of his faithful servants of Israel, that the people close to his heart. Praise the Lord."
Heavenly Father, I pray that that is our prayer. You know, I just pray that we recognize the power in your name. And I thank you for everyone here today. I thank you for this beautiful weather and just all that you do for us. I thank you for all the kids up here giving their time, who the ones that went on the trip and the ones here to just help lead this service today. I pray that you work in us and just fill us with your spirit, Lord, and just help us all to worship you in your name. Amen.
"I have been paralyzed for so long, I can't even sit up or move my legs and arms. I am here day after day after day, waiting for my friends to bring my food. Today, I heard some people outside my window talking about Jesus being in Capernaum. When my friends come today, I'm going to ask them if they can take me to see Jesus."
"Hi, we brought you some food."
"Thank you."
"Is there anything you'll need while we're here?
"I am thankful for you all, but more than anything else, I want to care for myself. I heard Jesus is in Capernaum. Do you think he could help me?"
"Actually, we have also heard about Jesus, and we've been talking. We have a plan."
"We want to take you to see Jesus."
"You know I can't even walk one step."
"We're going to carry you on your bed."
Each of the four friends took a corner of the mat on which the man lay and carefully carried him out of the house. They very slowly they walked through the narrow streets until they came to the house where Jesus was. There was a great crowd of people inside the house and all around the outside.
"What are we going to do?"
"There's not enough room for us to squeeze through the crowd."
Perhaps if we wait until the crowd leaves, we can see Jesus.
That will be very late. Our friend is not well enough to stay out here until evening.
I have an idea. Let's carry him up to the outside stairs to the roof. Then we can open the roof and see Jesus.
The four men carried their friend up the stairs to the roof. Carefully, they made a hole in the roof and laid aside the pieces of tile so that the roof could be replaced later. They tied ropes to the corner of the mat and slowly let the man down, 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 right in front of Jesus. How surprised the people in the house were to see the man coming down through the roof on his bed mat. But Jesus was not surprised. He looked up at the four men on the roof and then the man on the floor. He could see that the four men had faith to believe in him, that he would help their friend. Then he said to the man, "Your sins are forgiven. Get up, take your mat, and go home." The man jumped to his feet, rolled up his mat, and started to walk out the door. The surprised people stood back to make room for him.
Jesus can heal and
forgive you.
Forgave my sins. Jesus and has made me well.
Jesus can heal and forgive you too.
Good morning, everybody. So today I'm going to be sharing my testimony with all you. To start, I'm born. Hooray. No, but we're going to start off kindergarten. My parents at the time were not having a very good relationship with each other. They were arguing a lot. And, well, that hurt a lot. And, well, every time they'd argue, I'd either sit on the stairs or be up in my room and I'd just listen. And I'd cry a lot. And, well, after a little bit, my parents got a divorce. And then, well, I was mad at both my parents. I didn't understand what was going on, you know. My dad was gone. And, well, I don't know why Mom was crying all the time. That was hard for me, too. So I kind of just stuck to myself. And I ended up hanging out with people that I probably shouldn't have, said things I shouldn't have, did things I shouldn't have, and saw things I shouldn't have. That went on through middle school up until freshman year. And, well, that's when I started coming to youth group a lot more. And I met all my friends up here in the front row. And, well, that was good, but I didn't really have a relationship with God at the time. I was going for the people and the great snacks. But no, it wasn't until maybe last year that I actually started gaining a relationship with God, and now I'm learning more than ever, more than I would ever learn in school or anything like that. But I just have to thank God, because if it wasn't for my parents' divorce, I wouldn't have any of my friends here, wouldn't have half of my sisters, my brother, wouldn't have my stepdad over there. I wouldn't even be up here speaking to you all. I wouldn't have the courage to do it. So God works in so mysterious ways, and that's what I have for you.
One last good morning for everyone. All right, I just got some scripture for us today that I'm going to read through. So after a week-long trip to serve the Lord, we realized that we as followers and disciples of Jesus Christ have been given the command to go as Isaiah the prophet was called in Isaiah 6. If you want to read with me, I'll be reading Isaiah 6, starting with verse 1. So in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up. And the train of his robe filled the temple. Above it stood seraphim. Each one had six wings. With two he covered his face, with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one cried to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." And the posts of the door were shaken by the voice of him who cried out, and the house was filled with smoke. So I said, "Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people with unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a live coal, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth with it and said, Behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away and your sin purged. Also, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send and who will go for us? Then I said, Here I am, send me. Jesus beckons each of us young and old to go forth and do the work he has set out for us. Going ahead to 1 Timothy 4:12, which says, Let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, and in purity. Go where? Go to those around us, near and far. For each of us, that is a unique calling specific to the people God places in our paths. God may ask us to comfort someone we work with. God may ask us to lend a helping hand to our friends or neighbors. God may even ask us to help someone who we may not have the best relationship with. Or God may even ask us to be a missionary in Africa. God has made every one of us different, with different likes and different abilities. Yet as we choose to follow Jesus, he then asks us to join him in his ministry and go. Moving ahead to Matthew 28:19-20, which says, Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age. Not every one of us is called to go around the world to be a missionary. Not everyone is called to go to South Dakota, but of us, some were. God places people in all our paths, so we can share the light and hope of Jesus with them through our everyday lives. He is encouraging us to be the light where we are, to love people as Jesus loved them, and sometimes that means taking action and helping do a project like we did on the mission trip, or here in Motley, where we helped people build ramps on their homes this summer. For some, it is simply to speak the words of life into others' lives. 1 Peter 4:10-11 says this, As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do as with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. Like to then turn to Galatians 5:13, which says, For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. And then Ephesians 6:7-8 tells us, With goodwill doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatever good anyone does, he will receive the same from the Lord, whether he is a slave or free. Bouncing off that, Mark 10:45 reiterates that even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. My question for myself and the church is, will we make ourselves available for God's calling daily? Our final piece of scripture is in Romans 12:1, which says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. As I conclude, I would like to say that once we choose to follow Christ, we are to live in service to God. We are grateful for the opportunities to serve here in our own homes, our hometown, and around the globe. Thank you. And with that, I would like to invite the missions team up, and we're just going to share a little bit about our trip that we went on.
Oh, I get the
Christian,
mic.
Christian.
Oh, perfect. Christian, you get the mic first.
Okay, so my favorite part of the missions trip was probably the drive down and back. And the thing that grew me the most was probably being the devotion leader. And we all had jobs in our group of six, and I got that job because nobody wanted it. So, yeah.
So my favorite part was probably the walk me and my buddies had
Guayama. Last day, or last night we had there, we went out on a walk on the field, and, well, we kind of just talked about our faith and got to know each other more, got to strengthen our bond. But, yeah, I also enjoyed sticking my head in a hole. One of the pictures will show it. Yeah, somewhere in there. You can thank Henry for that. There you go, Kira.
Oh, okay. My favorite part of the trip was probably also the ride there and back. We all were kind of crammed together, and it got annoying at times, but I think it also was something that kind of brought us all closer together. Another part that was also one of my favorites was when we left Kaylee Eckel at the rest stop. We kept making jokes about leaving Zachary everywhere the entire time, and then we were about to leave, and we're like 2 minutes down the road, and suddenly I wake up from my nap, and I'm like, wait, where's Kaylee at? And we're all looking around, and Craig has to, like, slam on the brakes. And he's like, what? We forgot somebody? And I'm like, I was sleeping, so don't blame me for that. But, yeah.
Yeah, that was fun. It was Isla. Isla was supposed to count everyone. Jeez.
Yeah.
It's okay. So my favorite part was the drive there and the drive back. It was very interesting. I got close with a lot of people, had good conversations. And also our site person, what was it, Marsha, what is her name? She thought me and Olivia were actually twins. Because Craig started talking about my birth story, and she kind of put two and two together, and she's like, oh, so you guys are twins. So she wrote us a little care cards, and she's like, I'm so glad for the Olivias and their birth story together. And we have the same name, and we have different last names. And she could clearly see that in the care cards that we had different last names. So I don't know how she thought we were twins, especially when we said our birthdays were a month apart. But I guess we're twins now.
All right. I really enjoyed getting to meet our resident and just getting to, you know, meet new people, and that we had an awesome guy named Rob come down with us. He was pretty cool. He's sitting over there. Rob was so much fun, and he made it really enjoyable to go down, and we need another person, so. And immediately, they told us we were not supposed to pet the dogs. They told us we weren't supposed to, but right after Rob got out of the car, that was, like, the first thing Rob did was he was, like, petting the lady's dogs, so, yeah.
You can't blame him. Anyway, so my favorite part about the missions trip was all the fun we had. We were there to work and share the love of Christ, but it was just so much fun, like sticking Ian's head in the hole. It was great. Yeah, I mean, last day, because no one's talked about this yet, last day we were kind of pressed for time on getting everything done, and we ended like 30 minutes over the time that we were supposed to get done. But we got everything done, and it looks so nice. I don't know if the finished picture has been up there yet, because I haven't looked at the slides in a while. But, yeah, that's...
Okay. I'd say my favorite part was probably the walk I had with Ian and Boyd. That really... I think we all needed that. And iron sharpens iron, so it was... It's really nice to have that with them. And then to see how happy the resident was when we made the ramp and just how grateful and blessed she felt. And also, I really liked the time when I was carrying two bags of powdered concrete and then the bottom one ripped open all over me. And for the rest of the day, I had concrete all over me from the waist down. So, I mean, that was kind of fun, so...
All right, so my favorite part in everything is just seeing how God works through all the struggles that we had, because our site was just, it was a mess, let's just be honest. It was a mess, and whether we came back the next day and stuff was ripped up and just trash everywhere again, whether or not, or us having to redo everything we've already done the last day, God always got us through the day, and then we always finished by the end of the week, so that was...
Yeah. Yeah, so as you heard, our site was pretty messed up, and I just want to shout out to Marsha, our site coach, because she was very understanding about everything and realized that we weren't, like, construction workers. We were literally just a bunch of teenagers.
but she helped us get through it and was very understanding, so thankful for that. And also thankful for Rob for going with us five, and I've never met him a minute before that day, and he had to spend 12 hours with us, so shout out to him. Yeah.
Yes, I'm very grateful for how God worked through that trip. And yes, we're grateful for Rob and the relationship that we got to build. He's such a cool guy, and we're glad that he came on the trip. And he got stuck with our van, so we didn't really know him. And then it was 5 in the morning, and we were in a car for 12 hours. But, and I'm also, just the way that the Lord worked through our site. So if you didn't hear already, our site was really something. And, like, we kept hearing all the other kids coming back from their sites talking about how they hung out with their homeowner, their resident, and the relationship that they got to build with them. And, like, oh, one had a food truck and, like, invited them in for, like, and they did Devos together. And our resident didn't really talk to us. She wasn't around most of the time. And so it was kind of, like, disheartening. But then just to see how, you know, how God still worked through that, and we're praying that he continues to use our work to minister to her, maybe every time she sees her ramp or whatever on her deck. And also just the way that God displayed patience and gave us patience through our trip, because, yeah, we'd come back one day and what we did was undone, or we had to completely tear down and restart because it didn't work out right the first time or whatever. So God was really at work on this trip, and I'm so grateful for that.
I agree. I think one major thing that I learned over the trip was patience and God's timing versus our timing. As you heard, like, we faced some struggles with our work site. and, like, I like to have things planned out, know what we're going to do, that type of stuff. And then it's kind of tough when we get there and then we don't have the right materials, or we don't have any materials. And it's just hard to plan all that out. But through God's timing, we were able to get everything that we needed to done on time. And we had some fun doing it, too. Probably one of my favorite parts or favorite memories was my hat got stolen by a stray dog. That was pretty funny. But, yeah.
Also, one thing that I learned from mission trip was also patience, because I was the work director, and I had no idea what I was doing. So I couldn't tell them what to do, but my favorite part was definitely the 9 square. I played that a lot, and I played basketball a lot. Yeah, that's it.
As you heard, a lot of them said their favorite part was the ride out and ride back. They actually did do a lot of work while we were out there, and we did have some fun. We broke up, everybody there broke up into 5 youth and 1 adult. And Rob and myself had our 2 crews work together, and Jess and her crew. Jess's crew had the worst site there. Even the people that we were working with said Jess's site was the worst site they had to deal with. Our site, and like Belle made the comment, or somebody made the comment about meeting the homeowner, the person they were doing it for, and all these people kept coming back and talking about, you know, all the other youth groups and stuff, talking about the people that they got to do the project for and how they got. When it was raining, they would get called into the house, and they'd have devotions with them. Or, like I said, the one group, the people had a food truck, and they made food for them one day. We never saw ours until, like, the last day. They saw theirs the first couple days, but we didn't really have a relationship with them. But the last day, ours, we got to bond with. Pretty good, and it was really neat. But some of the statistics is there was 258 campers there, 21 churches, from 9 states, 43 crews. We did 27 sites, 100% of the work was completed, and it was 7,740 man-hours of volunteer time was given that week. And the person who was in charge of our site, he had 17 sites he was in charge of, he said there was they had $25,000 in materials that the reservation had bought for those 17 sites. And out of those 17 sites, and I didn't get it clear whether it was an additional $65,000 or it would have been $65,000 total to get those projects done if they would have had to pay somebody to do them. So these kids did go out. They did have a lot of fun, but they did work hard.
Close in prayer. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift you up in his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.